And last night, the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit was just absolutely marvelous. And we appreciated so much what the Lord did. And we saw quite a number of people baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues last night. But now what it is where does that take you? You weren't just looking for an event. You were looking for something that would lead you into a deeper walk with the Lord. That's what it should be. And so that's what we want to see. As our brother just said, what is happening now, let everything that we're learning, let everything that we're embracing, let everything that we say yes to be a constant in our lives. And let it build up from there. Amen? Amen. Let me just make mention of the product in the hallway. I did bring some things from the ministry. There's some special deals there, so take a look at that. See if it is appropriate for you, something that you might like, something that might be a benefit of to you. We didn't bring it to merchandise you, but we do want you to have material that we feel would be helpful to you, so please look that over. And secondly, let me also say, for those of you that may be guests here today, and you came because of the advertising and the special guests today, I appreciate that, but I got to tell you that it's my heart to put you in a good local church on a consistent measure. The pastors here and the staff here have got a great facility, a great program, and a great process of teaching the body of Christ. And if you don't have a home church, well, then you might just pray about being in this one, because everybody, amen, Pastor, everybody needs to be in a good local church. The Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And we appreciate the fact that over SBN you can watch us and be a part of our services and that. But you can catch our service about 10 times a day. And so you could be a part of this and a part of that. So this is that. Okay, you'll get that later. We want you in a good local church. And my love and respect for the Lincolns and the staff here in this church just continues to grow. Amen? Galatians chapter 5, if you would travel there with me this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Three verses, starting in verse 13. We sang a lot about being free today, and we certainly are in Christ. We've talked about our liberty today, and we certainly are those who have been liberated. But with liberty comes, look out now, responsibility. Liberty and responsibility. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. If you're there, say amen. Paul would write, for brethren, and the word here doesn't just indicate males, it's male and female, all those that were in the church, you have been called unto liberty. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been called to liberty. That was kind of weak, even on a Sunday morning. Turn to the other one and say, I've been called to liberty. Good. Only use not, watch, you're in liberty, but don't use your liberty for an occasion or as a base of operations to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. And to say that the law is fulfilled, it means that we bring it to its completion. We bring it to its highest height, its intended high watermark. It's fulfilled, it's addressed, it's completed, if you will. We bring it to the high watermark in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm not there yet. A lot of my life is still about me, and not you, and not you. But, of course, I know you've made it. I'm still reaching out for that high watermark of caring more about others than myself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There are problems in the church in the Galatian region, and because of, believe it or not, a religious argument, the people in the church are biting and devouring one another. You're not going to exist if quarreling and strife continues or is a continuing truth in any body, anywhere. It's just not going to work. And Paul says, take heed that you be not consumed one with another. I want to minister this morning for a few minutes. With liberty comes responsibility. With liberty comes responsibility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to minister the word of God to you, to these people today, through your power and through your spirit. Help us now to do no violence to your word and to meet the needs of those that sit before us and watch later over a recorded device or even right now online. We pray, Lord, that these words would strengthen and cause to move forward the body of Christ in this area, and we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible teaches us that with revelation or understanding comes responsibility. To whom much is given, help me, to whom much is given, much is required. Think about it. To whom much is given, much is required. I remember when I was 17 and in high school, seems just a few days ago, I couldn't wait to get out of the house. I couldn't wait to get out on my own. Because, man, when I got out on my own, there wasn't anybody that was going to be able to tell me when I needed to be home and when I needed to get up and when I needed to do this and when I needed to do that. Now, my parents were not crack the whip, hard-nosed type of people at all. They were very loving and kind. But, man, when you're 18, you just can't wait to get out because we've been groomed. We've been taught that independence is the big deal. And certainly independence is wonderful and independence is great. And those of you that aren't quite there yet, you're still in mom and dad's house, you're thinking, I can't wait till I get my own place, do my own thing, and nobody can tell me what to do. But the moment that you leave out of mom and dad's house, you do have great liberty. You do have freedom. Your life, pretty much outside of responsibilities that you have, are on your own. But all of a sudden, you begin to realize that, guess what? There's no one there cooking breakfast for you when you get up in the morning, and you're going to have to face the idea of doing laundry. I've never did laundry in my life. I bleached my jeans the first time I tried it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had to learn, and all of a sudden I found out that I had to take out the garbage. I had to pay the bills. I had to clean the house. Are you kidding me? Because with liberty came responsibility. And a lot of times in the body of Christ, we can shout and sing about being free, but we don't understand that we've been set free so that we could be joined to another. We've been released from one relationship so that we could be joined to another. And with that new relationship comes responsibility. It's not as it was, but it is a responsibility. I was a servant to sin. Now, being set free, I become a servant of righteousness. And the church said, amen. I have been set free. Yes, I have. But what have I been set free to do? This is what Paul is talking to the Galatians about in this passage. Now, let's talk about our freedom, because the believer, certainly, male and female, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. At salvation, our union with Christ provides the liberty that we were singing about this morning. Hell lost another one. I am free. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you were united with Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the person of Christ. You become one with Him. And that union is the very source and the very beginnings of our liberty. It frees us from the penalty of sin. Everybody say amen. We understand that. But what we're also needing to understand is that not only am I freed from the penalty of sin because of my union with Christ. He set me free from having to pay the price, which I never could anyway. On Calvary, he paid the price for all sin, for all men, for all time. And so when I accept him as my Savior, the price of his sinless life, his blood, his person sacrificed for me is payment for my sin. So I'm free from the penalty of sin. But not only am I free from the penalty of sin through my union with him, but I am recreated. I am regenerated. I have a new heart and a new soul. I have a new spirit. God's spirit comes in and immediately begins to instruct and lead and guide, speaking to my spirit, first confirming that I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit that we are men and women of God. We know because in here, in our innermost being, there's a confirmation that I have been recreated, I'm regenerated, and the Holy Spirit has moved in. But in that moment of time when I'm united with Christ, we need to understand that the power of sin over us is broken. This is the message of the cross. This is what the cross message proclaims, that we're not just freed from the penalty of sin, but we're also freed from the power of sin. So sin shall not have dominion over you. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, because we've got to learn how to progress in what we've been given. Just like an 18-year-old needs to learn how to do the work that's necessary to take care of the home, pay the bills, do it. He's free, but now he needs to learn what that freedom means. And you and I, as believers today, we're set free from the penalty of sin. We're set free from the power of sin. Many of you, the moment you got saved, things began to change. Items began to drop off. For me, it was alcohol. It was drugs. It was pornography. It was this and that and this, and I'm embarrassed about all the things I'd have to name if I talked to you about it. You have your own list. Can I hear an amen? But you were changed not because you were doing something or earning something, but because your union with Jesus, your being made one with him, set you free. And the good news is there's not one thing that you've encountered in your life that you have not already been set free from. Somebody shout amen. And Paul tells the believers there, I want you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free. I have a liberty. I don't have to do that, whatever that is, anymore. Whether it's temper, whether it's lust, whether it's jealousy or envy, any ungodly, uncharacteristic attitude, it's already been broken. You have been set free, not just from the power or penalty of sin, but the power of sin. And one day, not too far in the distant future, the trump of God is going to sound, and because of what Christ has done for us at the cross and our faith in him, we're going to be free from the presence of sin. So we're at liberty this morning. I'm free. I'm freed from the power of sin. I'm freed from the penalty of sin. And one day I'll even be free from the presence of sin. But meanwhile, I have to walk out this life in faith and trust in who God is and what God has done for me, who Christ is and what Christ has done for me, and not depend upon myself to walk out this Christian experience to its height. I need a little help up in here. And that help comes from the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I'm free. I said, I'm free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I'm walking in that freedom. I have that liberty. I may not be freed from everything I need to be freed from this moment, but I'm heading that way. I'm keeping my faith in Christ and what he's done, and the Holy Spirit is changing me, equipping me, transforming me day by day, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not the man that I was last year. What's changed? Ain't none of your business. Being changed is a unique individual thing. Eat off your own plate. But the business of the Lord is to set people free from the power and the penalty and the presence of sin. Somebody shout amen. Not only have I been set free from the power, penalty, and one day the presence of sin, I've also been set free from law. Now, let me talk to you about law. Law is the rules and means of an old government that was instituted by God under Moses. Moses came and instituted what we know as the law of Moses at Sinai. And the people of God entered into covenant through Moses as the mediator and said, we will do what God demands. And it had unique requirements for a unique people at a specific time. It involved a tabernacle, it involved a temple, it involved a priesthood, it involved a sacrificial system. And to be honest with you, we couldn't exist under that government today because it doesn't exist. There is no tabernacle, there is no temple, there is no place, there's no access to Jerusalem to do what they'd asked to do. And the way that the land was divided to different heritage and different people given different aspects of responsibility. That was unique to the Jewish people. It wasn't for us today. But yet the law of God began to, for the first time in black and white, spell out the nature and the character of God. God had always revealed himself through the conscience of each man and woman. But at the time of the giving of the law under the great lawgiver Moses, God spelled out what men were already sensing in their conscience. Oh, can't lie. Oh, can't steal. Oh, lust is wrong. They knew that before it was black and white. That's why when the little kid looks up at you and you say, because you saw him do something, they may only be 2 or 3 years old, but they already know that they know. Why? Because God created us with a conscience. That's evident that we didn't crawl out of a mud hole. We were created by God, who is a moral creator. And he instilled a piece of his nature in us, and even in fallen man, conscience deals with people prior to salvation and prior to coming to know the Lord. But the law of Moses detailed, thou shalt not, bang, thou shalt not, bang, thou shalt not. And a result of refusing to follow the thou shalt nots was either an expulsion from the community or it was death. The problem with the law under Moses was, while it was right and holy and good, and it spelled out what it was that God wanted us to be like, it gave us a view of God's nature and character, it couldn't save us, and it did not give people the power to live righteous. All it could do was condemn. All it could do was bring us to a place, which it was designed to do, to show us that we couldn't, in and of ourselves, keep up with the nature and the character of God. It was an impossibility. So the law was a stepping stone to God's revelation to humanity in regard to their redemption. When men fell in the garden, they were lost and separated from God. And you can't get somebody saved, you can't get somebody right with God until they come to the understanding that they're not right with God. Everybody you know says, well, I love the Lord, I love God, I know God. I mean, and most of them don't know the Lord from Adam's off fox. I'm not being rude or cruel. They just don't know. The first thing that we need to know, the first thing you had to know before you could get saved, was that you were a sinner lost and separated from God by your sin. You're not all that, and you weren't okay. And the law came along and said, see, you said honor your mother and your father, and all you could think about was how stupid your mom and dad were. Amen. Teenagers, be careful. The law proved man incapable of living up to the nature and character of God, but that was one of its purposes. Because if we saw that we couldn't keep what God demanded us to keep and we were sinful, guess what we need? We need a Savior. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was our guide that said, you need Jesus. And Jesus came and completed, fulfilled the purpose of the law. So when men are born again, not only are they freed from the penalty and power of sin, they're also freed from the Mosaic law. There's no authority in the Mosaic law or responsibility to the Mosaic law that the new covenant believer is bound to. Romans 7 and 4 says that we became dead to the law by the body of Christ. So the law held us captive, showed us what we were, but the law condemned us. So to come out from underneath in that condemnation, that first relationship that we had with God's law had to be forever over. It had to be forever gone, no longer our responsibility. And the only thing that set somebody free from a moral law of God was death. Death changed relationships. And Paul uses the illustration in Romans 7 of a marriage. If a man and woman are married and one of them dies, that one that's alive is now free to remarry because death changes relationships. So you were under the law of Moses. All men are born under the law of Moses. They're born under the word of God, under the accountability to God. Then they can't live up to the nature and character of God. Paul called the law a ministry of condemnation. And so we need to understand that our effort to be righteous and our effort to be holy can never be maintained. We need to die to that effort and accept Christ as the only source and the only means and the only way of righteousness. And so Paul said that we became dead to the law by our union with Christ through the body of Christ. Put it back on the screen if you would, Romans 7 and 4. We became dead to the law by the body of Christ. Why? So that we could be married to Christ. So I'm freed from the law. I'm at liberty from the law. And the truth is, I got to hurry here, I'm free from all manner of law because no religious law can make me holy. No religious law can make me righteous. We've gone through the whole gamut of religious processes in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. We said that holiness was based on how we dressed or what we did or where we went. And we put this as the high watermark of righteousness. If you look like me and act like me and dress like me, and ladies, you couldn't wear makeup, you know, because when the fire hits the barn, you know, the first thing to burn is the paint. Then we preached a clothesline instead of the godly line of how to get righteous, and we put an emphasis on those laws. But the truth is, none of those laws ever made you righteous and holy. You don't. If the law of Moses, which is perfect and righteous and good, can't make an individual holy, what makes you think your little tawdry law, your little religious, you have to do it this way, could ever provide you with the righteousness that God would honor? So we, to be honest, have to be dead to all manner of religious law to be set at liberty to be married to Christ. So I can come to Christ unhindered by what was the thing that showed me I needed him. What was it that showed me I needed him? I know for me it was the drug addiction, the alcoholism, the loss of the five fingers in an accident, all of it part of the breakdown process to tell me I wasn't as hot as I thought I was. And left on my own, all I did was destroy myself. So at age 26, I said, Jesus, if you just have me, if you take me in this broken form, I'm yours. And he said, I'll be glad to take you. And he set me free, set me at liberty from the powers of darkness. And I don't have time to go through all of those, the world, the flesh, the devil. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, set me free from the law of Moses and religious law so that I could be married to Christ and begin to bring forth fruit unto God. See, you can't get fruit from law. You can only get fruit from your union with Christ, because you enter into a whole new system and process of righteousness. Now, the ways and the means to righteousness is not works, but faith. And faith in Jesus and what he's done for you brings grace, the active work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts attending to you in a way that laws could never do. The Holy Spirit begins to build a Christ-like heart, a Christ-like mind, a Christ-like attitude in you as long as you stay away from your old love of law and move towards this new relationship with Christ. So Paul tells the church, do you understand what I just said? Paul, Faith in Christ and what he has done for you at Calvary is what causes the Holy Spirit to begin to produce righteousness and right living and right. And not now. All the law could do could condemn. Romans 8 and 3 says what the law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only begotten Son, that we who are joined to him might literally begin to fulfill or begin to complete righteousness, which is described in the law. I'm not under the law, but now being married to Christ, there's an expectation of God to bring me into a life of righteousness. Now, I said all that to introduce this thought. I've not been set free to do whatever I want. I'm not at liberty to live any way that I want. In today's church world, the idea of grace is often purported as freedom, and it is. But it's freedom to live any way that I want, do anything that I want to do, act any way that I want to act, perform anything that I want to perform, and I'm in relationship with love with Christ, so he loves me, and it doesn't really matter what I do. I don't have to really pay attention to where I am spiritually because I've accepted Christ, and while we may not tout that doctrine, we may not say that out loud, a lot of times our lives in this modern age look like that. I'm not under law, but I better start evaluating very quickly if what I'm doing is pleasing the one I'm now married to. If I start doing things that are untoward towards my wife, she's going to box my ears back after addressing me kindly first, of course. Because messing around with someone else is not going to help the marriage that I'm in now. Are you getting the idea? So I've been freed from one system of righteousness, but I've been married to a system of righteousness that demands that I become like the one I've been married to and gives me the means by which I can become that. So ladies and gentlemen, you have been set free from the powers of darkness. We were singing, you were shouting a minute ago, that you've been set free from the dominion of sin. You've been set free from the law, Mosaic law and religious law. But do you know that your liberty also brings responsibility? Paul would say it this way. He said, don't you know? And we go back to my text this morning. He said, you've been called unto liberty, only don't use your liberty as an occasion or setting up a base of operations to the flesh. Now let's talk about flesh. Ooh, flesh. flesh. What is flesh? What does Paul mean when he says flesh? Probably the most simple definition that I can give you as a pastor, as a teacher, is this. Flesh, that Paul, the way that Paul uses it, is just man minus God. All that you are, all that you have, all that you can do, your talent, your ability, your emotion, your mind, whatever's in you, and just subtract God from the equation, and that's flesh. Now, all of us live in flesh. You walked into church in the flesh. You sat down in the flesh. You came here in the flesh. What you talking about? You came in as a human being, operating as a human being must, in this age, at this point in time, in flesh. The problem with our flesh is that it has been tainted, it has been warped, it has been hurt by the powers of darkness and the results of the fall. And in our flesh, there still dwells indwelling sin or a sin nature, which, if not throttled by faith in Christ in the cross, can begin to move upon you in all manner of evil design and desire. So if you don't pay attention to the responsibility that you have under your liberty and depend wholeheartedly every moment of every day in Christ and what He has done for you so that the Holy Spirit can begin to operate properly in you, if you're not depending upon Christ, you're walking in the flesh. And again, we live in flesh. But walking after the flesh means that you're totally dependent upon you. And man, religion and flesh like to coincide. We get proud because we learn that we're supposed to read the Bible, and then we think we're good just because we read. And we learn that prayer is beneficial, and so we pray, but then we start crediting ourselves for the product that prayer brings. You didn't bring any answers to prayer, you just prayed. But how come we take the credit for it? That's the pull of flesh. We want to take credit for the things that only God can do. And flesh not only wants to take credit for what only God can do, but flesh also sometimes wants things that the Holy Spirit doesn't want. I'll preach over here. Flesh sometimes wants something that the Holy Spirit doesn't want. And everybody said. So you've been set at liberty from the dominion of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. You've been set free from the authority and responsibility to the law of Moses, so that you could be united with Christ, and now, based on what He has done and how He has afforded salvation to you and the way that it works by faith and grace, you place your faith in who Christ is and what Christ has done, and now the Holy Spirit rises up and gives you victory over the flesh. So we're not saved to just do and be anything that we want to, and when we operate just in the flesh, we think we can escape the consequences by just saying, thank you, God, for what you helped me do. No, 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 no. Okay, now I'll preach over here. We have to understand that with our liberty comes great responsibility. What does God want out of you more than anything? He wants you to be conformed into the image of His Son. I know the will of God for every one of you in this room, and I'm not trying to be a big man prophet. I'm just telling you, I know what God wants for every born-again believer, that they be conformed into the image of Christ. So your main purpose in life, after being let free from the powers of darkness, after being let free from the law of Moses, after being set free from the religion of the world is to use the process now established by God in the new covenant. Place your faith in Christ and who he is and what he's done, and enjoy your marriage to Christ and become like him. That's what you've been called to do. Don't use your liberty as a base of operations just to please yourself. Just to, I got a great life now. Listen, there's no greater life than living for Jesus. But you can totally mess it up and wreck it by trying to pursue the things that you want, that the flesh wants, that God doesn't want you to have any part in. I'm preaching better than your amen at this point in time. And so I've just come to tell you this morning that as a believer, you have a great responsibility. But this responsibility is not to be met in your own ability. This responsibility can garner the help of the Holy Spirit, who's God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. And as E.V. Hill said on our platform back in 1989, he said this. He said, "You don't have any problem bigger than dead and buried. There's no problem in life that you are going to face that's bigger than dead and buried. And the God that lives in you has already beat dead and buried." But you have to recognize that with liberty, God lost, devil lost, another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Sin lost, another one, I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost, another one, I am free, I am free. But I'm not free to do whatsoever I desire. I've been set free from these so that I might be married to another and I might understand how he has provided me with the means to become what he desires me to come, become, not in the flesh, not by my own effort, but by faith and by grace. I hope you don't get tired of hearing that. Grace is not the ability that you have to just live according to your flesh and do whatever you want. Grace is the ability to be conformed to the image of Christ through faith. And justification guarantees that if my faith stays in Christ, when I have days that I don't do very well. Okay, over here. We all have them. I don't have to give up and quit. I can ask God to forgive me. And I say, I see that. Now I understand why Paul said that in my flesh, that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, man minus God. No, I know why Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, not O wretched man that I was." Paul recognized that each and every day, that even after being set free, it wasn't in his own ability that he could live for God. That's why I'm dead to the laws of religion. I'm dead to the law, and I'm alive to grace, because grace is the free-flowing moving of the Holy Spirit that comes as we rely and depend and humble ourselves day after day after day to live with Jesus and live for Jesus and to become like Jesus. So hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one, I am free. I'm free to leave that behind, and I'm free to embrace fully Christ. I've become a servant to him. He's my spouse. I'm married to him as we look at each other this morning. We are the body of Christ. We are bride of Christ. We've been united with him to be conformed into his image. So with my liberty comes the responsibility of being changed and giving my life wholly to Christ. Can I say amen and amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that we've spoken today will have made proper sense and brought about a conviction to those that are here, should they be yielding themselves to the flesh and not to the Spirit. Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation, but Father, there does need to be change in every heart and every life. Forgive us for what we are not, and make us what you want us to be as we move from our liberty to the responsibility of becoming one with you. And we ask for your help in all the people present, the Holy Spirit's power in all the people present, to move and love and live in Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Every day we should be striving to be closer and more like him, to push down this flesh. And it's a good thing to know that we don't have to do it in our own. We have to just simply come to the Father and say, God, change me. God, show me. And then just lean into it. He is a good, good Father. I'm so thankful for him and so thankful for all of you that have joined us. Thankful for those of you who have tuned in with our webcast. We want to invite you right back. We've got another service coming up at 11. If you haven't had a chance to give, we'd encourage you to give. And then our only announcement today is, well, actually two. One of our members purchased the remaining music CDs, and if you have not already been blessed, we invite you to stop at the product table and pick one up. We do ask that you only do one per family. And we also want to remind you, for our church family as well, we're having a barbecue next Saturday. If you haven't received an email, you can either sign up through the email or you can sign up in the lobby. We'd love to see you there and enjoy some time of fellowship. Again, we thank you all for coming. We ask you to be safe and be blessed, and you are dismissed.